As we're at this morning, 2 Samuel chapter 9. And I intentionally try not to put too many blanks in the notes because I'll speed through things too fast and not give time for it. So there's just a few in there. But 2 Samuel chapter 9 is where we'll be at this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 9, starting at verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. When they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that the Lord, the king, hath commanded his servant, so shall the servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." Then Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Let's pray together before we look into the Word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come together in this beautiful day. And Lord, we thank you for the warmer weather and the not have to worry about road conditions or anything like that as we've come through this winter. God, we thank you that we have the ability to come and meet together freely. And God, as we look into your Word this morning, that you would show us things in our life, and that your word would reveal these truths to us. And God, we just ask that we wouldn't leave here without being changed by your word. And God, we just say again, thank you for our pastor, that you would be with him as he's there with their family for these next little bit, and they bring him home safely. But God, we just thank you that we can be here together to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're invited. If you ever had someone say that to you, "Hey, you're invited," and invitations are special, and maybe you think of different invitations for certain events throughout your life. You know, there's certain invitations to get that are good, whether it's invitation to a party, you know, birthday party as a kid, you know, that was always a big deal. And I remember growing up, you know, normally you had limits to who could go to a certain party because no one had a lot of money for big crazy things. It's like, okay, you got to pick four friends to invite to your birthday party, and it's like, you're like, "Oh, I made it." If you were the one that made the invite, you know, to someone's birthday party and things like that. You know, there's a lot of things that go on, you know, baby showers, they send out invitations, you know, weddings, obviously a big thing. I remember my wife and I, when we got engaged, you know, we sent out these wedding invitations to people. And, you know, it's funny, people are like, "Well, who do you send wedding invites to?" I was like, "You send it to as many people as possible, because even if they don't come to your wedding, they might send you a gift." And, you know, but you send out these invitations for these special events, graduations, even just inviting someone over to have a meal with you. You know, that it can be such a special thing. And we've seen that even more so this last year when in-person events had been limited. And now that things, you know, are becoming more open again, you know, certain things are becoming more normal again to gather together. And it's a special thing to be invited to something. There's also some invitations that are not so good to be invited. If you're a kid and you got invited to go to the principal's office, that was normally not a good thing. And for the trouble that you had caused. Or at work, if you get invited to go to the boss's office, that's not always a good thing if you get called into the boss's office. Or for me, the worst one is when you get invited by a nice police officer to pull over when he flashes his lights behind you and for something that you did. And that's a frustrating, that's an invitation that I do not want to accept, but it would be much worse if you do not take that invitation to pull over. And maybe you've even been invited to something that was just such a random event, and you're like, I really don't want to go to this, but I feel obligated to go. Maybe you've had things like that. But it can be exciting to be invited to special events with those that we love. And or it can be a kind of unnerving, depending on what the invitation may be. But here in our text this morning, we find a very special invitation. And we see here King David, as he's finally coming to kind of a breath of fresh air in his reign as king. He had been on the run for many years from King Saul, who's trying to kill him. And now he's finally at a place where he's kind of, all his battles have been fought for the most part, and he's kind of able to focus on a promise that he had made. So we said that King Saul, the first king, hated David. He tried to kill him because of Saul's disobedience or rebellion against God. God said, you're no longer going to be the king, and David was chosen to be the next king. So Saul did not like that, so he tried to kill David. But Saul had a son whose name was Jonathan, and Jonathan was David's best friend. And Jonathan knew that God had anointed David to be the next king. And instead of fighting for what he was would have been the rightful heir to the throne after his father, and he could have fought David for that, but instead he said, no, God said David's going to be the next king. I'm going to support him. And they became best friends. And it's interesting, the very close friendship that they had. And we don't see that as much today, unfortunately, especially with men, of having close friendships like that. And how important that it is. I'm so thankful for the friends that God has put in my life to bear each other's burdens and to fight battles together. And so David and Jonathan had become best friends, and Jonathan had watched David's back many times and helped him escape from his father trying to kill David. But Saul and Jonathan died in battle, and then David became the king. But after Saul and Jonathan died, David had made a promise to Jonathan. And he made the promise that he would help take care of his family if Jonathan died. And that was not an uncommon thing even today. If someone close to us, you know, the husband or father passed away, you know, they would be there to support that family that's going through that difficult time. And David said, I'm going to make that promise to take care of my friend and to take care of his family. And so we mentioned that years have gone by as David has become the king and had to deal with different battles and different things that come along with being a king in his first few years. But now David comes to this point where he remembers that promise and he's able to fulfill it. And imagine as you are Jonathan's son, who we see here, his name is Mephibosheth. Man, what a name. Could you imagine having to write that out? You know, what's your name? You know, I'm glad I got a short name, Ham, H-A-M. It's hard to mess that up. But Mephibosheth. And you imagine these messengers come knocking on your door. Hey, the king, King David, who your grandfather tried to kill, he wants to see you. You're invited to come see the king. Could you imagine the thoughts that are going through his head? His mind is racing. The fear that is there is he going to kill me? Is he going to finish the job? Is he going to wipe me out? Which is very common in those days. If a new king came in, he would wipe out any opposing potential challengers or a family that had done them wrong. Like, that was a very common thing to take place. And so Mephibosheth is getting this invitation, hey, come to see the king. And he's a little probably nervous, probably has no idea what's going to happen. I'm sure these messengers are trying to tell him what's maybe going to happen a little bit, but the thoughts are probably racing through his mind as he thinks about his grandfather, Saul, who tried to kill David many, many times. He literally left being king to basically go on a personal vendetta to hunt David down for many years. And now David wants to see him. And King David has this invitation from Mephibosheth. You're invited. But this morning, I want to look at this invitation that he received and how it applies to us, the invitation that we have received from God. And so number one, why was he invited? It was for Jonathan's sake. He was invited because of who he knew, who he was related to. And it was very clear here why he was invited. In verse 1 and in verse 7, it says, for Jonathan's sake. And you think about it, when you get an invitation for an event, why do you get invited? Because of who you know. I have never gotten an invitation from a stranger to go to their birthday party or their event. Never had that happen to me. I don't think anyone here has probably had that happen to them, and at least not intentionally. Maybe you got something in the mail or something sometime that wasn't for you. But no one does that. You don't invite someone that you don't know, especially today when, you know, things can be limited, things like that. You invite people that you want to be there. And this invitation was only because of who his father was, who he was related to, who he knew. And Mephibosheth wasn't invited because of where he was from or anything that he had done. It was because of his relationship to Jonathan. It's interesting, some things that we know about Mephibosheth is that Mephibosheth was lame. And the Bible talks about another passage that there was a childhood injury when they were fleeing the castle one time. He was dropped as a child and he had an injury that they didn't have the medical technology like we have today to fix those things. And he was lame on his feet. He could not walk for himself without help. And, you know, we see that today where people have different injuries, you know, in a wheelchair, all these different things. That's not necessarily uncommon. But in that this day, it was a much more serious thing because if someone had a handicap, a physical handicap of some kind, basically the only job they could have was a beggar for the most part. And you see this later in the Bible, people that were blind, where they can't do anything. They're begging in the New Testament. And that was such a huge thing as Jesus healed the blind. He made those that were lame be able to walk again. I love the story of the friends who bring their friend who could not walk and they lower him down through the ceiling. You know, they tore a hole in the roof and lowered him down to get him to Jesus Christ. And what an exciting thing. If you think about Mephibosheth, that he would have been completely dependent on others to help take care of him in those days. And what a humbling thing that would have been. You know, he was would have been the royal lineage, and now he's a second-class citizen in many people's minds. He had no way of coming to the king as well. Not just physically, but just he didn't have any access. And the king had no reason of showing him any kindness except because of who his father was, because of Jonathan. But you think about us spiritually. God had no reason at all to show us kindness in any way. Romans chapter 5 says that we were enemies with God before we trusted Christ. We were sinners in his sight. We were ungodly. And yet he loved us anyway. And we were spiritually dragged down by our sin, that we were blind. The Bible says that the wrath of God was abiding on us before we trusted Christ as our Savior. We had no rights or access to God. You know, we look at in Sunday school this morning about the tabernacle and all the things they had to go through, the priests and all these things, and yet now, as a child of God, we have complete access. We can come directly to our Father. But in our sin, we had nothing to offer him. And the only reason that we could be forgiven is because of Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:12, it says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. The only reason why our sins can be forgiven is because of what Jesus Christ did for us. The only reason why we could have the hope of a home in heaven is because of what Jesus Christ did as he gave his life and rose again for us. When these men came looking for Mephibosheth, they didn't care how much money he had. They didn't care what occupation he had. They didn't care what shoe size he had, anything about him other than who are you related to? Are you Jonathan's son? Then you're the one that we're looking for. And the same is true. One day we'll stand before God and he's not going to care how much money we gave to church, how many passages of scripture we have memorized, whether we were born in Pennsylvania or some other state or some other country. He's only going to be concerned with who are you related to? Are you my child? And so what is your relationship this morning to Jesus Christ? Is he your Savior? Have you called out to him for salvation? And Mephibosheth, he didn't know at first what he was being invited to. And he was likely very scared of what was going to take place. But he was invited for Jonathan's sake because of his relationship to him. You know, think about our parents and the certain privileges that could come because of who our parents are. And think about my dad. You know, there are certain privileges I got to experience as a kid because of my dad. And my dad works at the University of South Carolina. And so because of that, we got to go to certain games for free. And probably because no one else would pay to go to those games, but we got to go to certain events for free. You know, we got to go to women's volleyball and baseball and things like that for free because my dad worked there. All he had to do was show, hey, I work here, and he could get in for free. And I got the benefit because I was his son. And also, another exciting thing is that my dad, he's retired from the military. So I was younger, I had a military ID card. That thing is gold in some places. And my mom is funny. Everywhere, do you take military discount? You know, we're like, Mom, don't ask everywhere you go. And it was certain, you know, things I got to go to. And when I traveled a couple summers in college, I did a lot of flying. I was in a lot of airports that summer. And with long layovers in the airport, can be miserable. If you've ever had a long layover, you know what I'm talking about. But there's a magical place in airports that if you have a military ID, you can get access to. And it's called the USO. If you've never heard of that, it's the place that's for military and their families in airports and a lot of military that travel, things like that. And these places are incredible. Free food, Lazy Boy recliners, beds, you know, it's amazing. And you can just go in there and relax. And I'm sad now that I don't have a military ID anymore and because I'm no longer under my father. And can't do that anymore. It's a privilege I got. And then another exciting privilege I had is that my parents did a lot with the youth at our church growing up. And so certain youth events I got to go to. And there's one I'll never forget. I was just a little guy, maybe, you know, first or second grade, something maybe even a little younger, and they had a boys' game night or whatever, and the game that they played all the time was dodgeball. And so I was like, I want to go out there, you know. I can keep up with these guys. So what happens? They're like, okay, we'll let this little kid in there. And so like 2 seconds in, it seemed like, boom, I get nailed right in the face. I don't know if they targeted me. I don't think they did. I was just running around, didn't know what I was doing, and I got nailed right in the face. So needless to say, my time playing dodgeball ended very quickly in tears. And but I got to play because of who my dad was. And same is true, you know, with my son. He's going to have the same thing. All right, teen dodgeball, get in there, son. And, you know, I'm not going to set that up. But if it happens, it happens. You know, that's one way to learn. But anyway, we get advantages and access to things because of who our parents are, who we're related to. And one day, though, I'll get a step in heaven for the first time for one reason alone, because of who my Heavenly Father is. Not by anything that I ever did, not because I deserved it, but because Jesus Christ gave his life for me and he adopted me into his family. And Mephibosheth got access. He was invited because of who his father was, for no other reason but because of that. So the second thing we see, though, is where was he invited to? He was invited to the king's table. To the king's table. And when you think about this invitation, it wasn't just to, you know, McDonald's. You know, as a kid, that was a big deal. Oh, we're going to McDonald's. Oh, yeah, this is great. No, he got invited to the king's table. And you can imagine, if you're the king, all the food that he would have had access to, anything that he could have wanted was theirs. And there's magical places that you can go to called Brazilian steakhouses. And if you've ever been to one of those, you know what I'm talking about. And basically, these guys come on with these skewers of meat, of lamb and ribeye, filet mignon, anything you could want. They just come around with it, and just incredible. And you give this little card that's green or red, and if as long as it's green, they keep coming to you, seeing if you want more. And whenever I go, I just leave it on green. And I can tell them to stop, but I want them to keep coming to me. You know, that's why you're going there. And it's incredible, all the access to the best things. There's one that we went to that even just had this giant bowl of bacon at the salad bar. It's like, you know, this just a salad bar just has a bowl of bacon. You know, that's when you know a place is good, where the sidebar has a giant bowl of bacon. And you can imagine of the access to everything that he could have won, it was there at his fingertips at the king's table. But you think about it, it was a table of honor. It was a table of honor. Not just anyone got access to go eat with the king. You think about today. Imagine if you got invited to go to the White House, that it would be a great honor. No matter who the president was, what you thought of them, that would be an incredible honor to be able to go there and to see the history, to see all those things. And, you know, but imagine if you got invited to live there and have access to everything and more you could imagine. That's what Mephibosheth went. He went from having almost nothing to having anything he wanted. And the king had given him access to the best food, the best housing, the best clothes, and the best everything. And what God gives to us is better than anything that the world has to offer us. And it's guilt-free, regret-free. Because the world offers sinful pleasures for a season, and it's more accessible than ever before to those things. We have unlimited access to the God of the universe who's given us the Word of God that we can feast on every single day, as much as we want. And God offers us peace and joy and love and fulfillment. Jesus said that he came to give life and life more abundantly. Life as a Christian isn't easy, but it's second to none. It is the best that it can be. And I love the life that God has given to me. Family, friends, this church, a calling. And my life may not be perfect according to what other people's standards may be, or even myself at times think it should be. But it's what God has given to me. And even if he took all of the physical things of this world away, it would still be the greatest because it's the life that God has given. Think about Job. He lost everything, humanly speaking, and he said, "Naked I came in this world, and naked I'll return. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Because the enjoyment that he had in life wasn't all the stuff, but it was on that God gave it to him. We think about Mephibosheth. He's coming to this table of honor and to other people that he would have seen and met, that would have been traveling in and that he would have had conversations with. He had access to all of that. It was a table of honor, but it was also a table of humility. Because every time that he sat down at that table, he realized, I'm not worthy to be here. As other dignitaries, other royalty, other leaders would come in, even King David himself says, I'm not worthy of this. And it's interesting, when he came into David's presence there, in verse 6, it says that he fell on his face and did reverence. From the moment he came into that place, he was on his feet, or on his knees, bowing before. And then later in verse 8, he says, why should you look on a dead dog such as I am? He's like, I am nothing. He's like, why would you even do anything for me? And it's interesting that David called himself a dead dog to Saul, which is interesting. Humility. He was humbled every time that he came to this place. You think about the Apostle Paul, he called himself the chief of sinners at the end of his life. He realized who he was in God's sight. He said, I'm nothing. I'm the worst of the worst. You think about us, we don't deserve anything good because we're sinful, hopeless people. And you've probably heard this question many times, why would God allow bad things to happen to good people? Well, the funny thing with that question is, there's no good people according to the Bible. None of us deserve anything good from God. None of us deserve even 1 ounce of his love, and yet he loved us anyway. But it was all made possible because of Jesus Christ, who was the only one truly good and righteous person. And Mephibosheth knew who he was. He says, I'm nobody. In fact, he knew, I'm an enemy. Because of who his grandfather was. He was like, I should be dead. You should want to kill me because of what certain people in my family have done to you. And he was humbled. He was humbled by the generosity of the king. You know, some of the most humbling moments of my life were because of the generosity of other people. Maybe you've experienced things like this for yourself. I remember my wife and I, we had not been married too long, and we were visiting some of her family there in Indiana, where her grandpa lives, her aunt and uncle and family were staying there, and they're there helping her grandpa. But I remember we go for Thanksgiving that year, and I don't think I had met most of her family up until this point on that side. And so we're getting ready to go there. We get there, and they show us to the room upstairs we're going to be staying in. And we didn't realize at the time, we found out a little bit later, that the room that we stayed in was her aunt and uncle's room. It was the main room of the house. But while we were there, they gave us their room, and they slept on the floor downstairs. And that was a humbling thing, at the generosity that, man, we should have slept on the floor. And you probably had similar things in your life. I remember when I was in Bible college, again, traveling, we would raise money to support the ministry that we were doing. And I remember one time, I got a check, and it was for like $20, And most people say, well, that's such a small amount. But I knew the person that gave it, they didn't have that $20 to give, and they gave it to me. And it was such a humbling thing of, wow, I didn't deserve that. And it made what that responsibility, that opportunity that I had, even more of a sobering thing is, I'm not going to throw this opportunity away because I know that other people sacrificed greatly to make it happen. And you think about Mephibosheth, I bet he was the perfect guest there in David's house. I don't think he probably wasn't too outspoken, I would think, on a lot of debates and things. You know, you get strong people together, leaders, things like that. You know, they're going to have debates and things like that. And he probably is like, I'm on King David's side. Whatever you're saying, I'm with him. But I think in our lives, How often would we live our life differently if we remembered what we really deserved? And that's eternity away from God in hell. That's what we deserve, but because of what Jesus Christ did, we can have eternity in heaven. And you think about our country as a whole, and even many Christians, we've become so entitled to getting what we want. We see this all over the place. The problem is we can't all get what we want because we all want different things. And that's why a coming together has to be a humbling thing, a mutual submission to one another, whether it's in a family, within a church, because it's not about me. It's about him. Heard, you know, a story one time, someone came to the pastor and said, well, I didn't really like the worship service today. And the pastor's like, well, good, it wasn't for you. Because it's not for us. It's all about him. And have that humility. I think Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, he said, I'm a debtor. Paul, why do you go around preaching and telling other people about Christ? He says, because I'm indebted. So I didn't deserve for anyone to tell me the gospel. Now that I've received it, I'm going to give my life to telling all those that I can. And that's why the Bible says that God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. Because we realize that we don't deserve it. So the question is, do we have a mindset of humility like Mephibosheth had? Think about Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, it says that when he came to this earth, he came of no reputation. He didn't care what it wasn't. He didn't come as the king yet. He will come back as the king, but he came, the Bible says, he took on him the form of a servant. He took the lowest jobs. The final act that he did before he died with the disciples is what? He washed their feet. The job that the lowest servant would have. And he says that we're supposed to esteem others better than ourselves and to not be a respecter of persons. The book of James talks about certain Christians at the church there at that time were reprimanded. Why? Because they treated people differently based on their social status. Someone that came in that was rich and wealthy, oh, they get the better treatment. Someone that was poor, oh, move out of the way. This rich person needs to come in. This is happening in the church setting. We're supposed to love everyone equally. And Mephibosheth was learning that as he was growing in humility. And you can probably imagine almost every day that he woke up realizing, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I'm living in the palace. I can't believe I get to go eat at the king's table day in and day out. And if he was ever tempted to think too highly of himself, all he had to do is remember where he came from. And he was very quickly humble. I don't deserve to be here. And if we ever get too prideful, all we have to do is remember the miry clay that Jesus Christ, that God pulled us out of when he saved us and set our feet on the rock. Why was Mephibosheth invited? Because of who he knew. Where was he invited to? He was invited to the king's table and everything that it had to offer. And the third thing, what happened when he accepted that invitation? When he came and he took that position, what happened? What changed in his life? And you think about it, as a child of God, there are some wonderful blessings of being a child of God. As pastors have been going through the book of Ephesians, talking about the spiritual blessings that we have as a child of God that doesn't compare to anything else. Mephibosheth found out that there were some incredible blessings of being a part of the king's family. Letter A is that he was restored his father's land and property. As King David, he brought the servant in there and said, hey, first thing he did, all of the property that King Saul had in his family, it now goes back to Mephibosheth and his family. Because all that would have been taken over by David when he took over as the king, and he gave it all right back to him. He has restored his father's land and property. And you think about us, when we trusted Christ, our Savior, the Bible says that we were restored, we were reconciled in our relationship to God. And that now we have the ministry of reconciliation, of bringing others to Christ to be restored. And the Bible says that we are given an eternal inheritance in heaven. 1 Peter 1 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And God has given us an eternal inheritance that we have. And one day we're going to get to lay claim on as his child. And that place in heaven, you know, people argue about, you know, is it a mansion, is it whatever? I don't care what size it is. I'm just glad I'm going to be there and experience all that God has for us there. And we couldn't afford to pay the price for it, but Jesus Christ paid for it with his own blood. And we don't have to worry about getting evicted from there. We don't have to worry about the neighbors because we're going to be in the presence of God himself. We don't have to worry about the electric bill because Jesus Christ is going to be the light of that city. We don't have to worry about the water bill because the river of life is going to be flowing freely. And we don't have to worry about doctor bills because we're going to have a glorified body. No more pain, no more suffering, no more sin nature to deal with. And just like Mephibosheth no longer ever had to worry about his needs being met again, God took care of it all. And again, this is not a prosperity gospel. Oh, in this life, you're going to have all these things if you just become a Christian. No. If you want that, go listen to Joel Osteen, somewhere like that, tell you the lies. But no matter what happens to us in this life, we have something that will never be taken away from us. And those eternal rewards, those eternal inheritance that we have in Christ. And Mephibosheth, he was restored that heritage, that inheritance that he had been, would have been his, and is now restored to him again. Second thing, he became part of the royal family. It says that he became as one of the king's sons. At the end of verse 11. And Mephibosheth became like a son to David. And you can imagine seeing that young man to David, hey, you're now my son. You're going to become just as equal to me as my own children. And the love that he had, someone that he never met before, as far as you know, that he didn't know, because he had to ask, you know, is there any of Jonathan's, you know, relatives left? He didn't know. And here's this guy he had never met before, and he says, you're going to be like my son to me. What an incredible picture of love that he had. But as a Christian, also John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. And in Galatians 4, it talks about that we receive the adoption of sons, that we were placed into the family of God. And, you know, I think about on June 19, 2020, is a day I'll never forget. That was the day that we officially adopted Joseph. We'll never be able to disinherit him. He will always be our son. And what a privilege. And every time, almost every time I see him, I think about that God gave him to us and that he is ours from God. And adoption is such a beautiful picture of what God has done in our lives as a child of God. Pastor touched on that again as a few weeks ago, and how full and how rich that the adoption process was. But Mephibosheth says, I'm one of the king's sons now. And the certain garb and clothing that they would have that would identify them as royalty that he would have now worn, those certain places that he would have went that only the king's sons would have had access to, he became part of the king's family. Then see, he got to eat continually. I think it's three separate times says that he got to eat continually at the king's table. I thought that was interesting that multiple times it references that, that he got to go and every meal that he wanted to, he was able to come to eat at the king's table. And I can't help but think of the verse, Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I think about my life and your life, how often have we tasted and found that God was good as we experience those things in our life? And how many times that God proved himself as I tasted and saw that those things were true. And don't take my word for how good God is and how good his word is. Experience it for yourself. We have the access to the unlimited depth of God's word. You know, we're talking about, you know, the tabernacle and all those things and just how much fullness and how much depth there is to those things. It's all throughout the word of God. We can never understand it fully. We can never get enough of it. We can eat continually from it. And we can have as deep and wonderful and close of a relationship with God as we want. As much as we want, we are could come into God's presence and to spend time with him. And Mephibosheth got to eat continually. I wonder if he ever just like, no one else is around. Hey, I just want to go sit at the table. You know, bring me a snack, you know, whatever. He got to eat continually. And then the last thing is that he was viewed differently. And what is the very last words of the chapter? Verse 13. It says, he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both of his feet. Now, was Mephibosheth still lame? Yes. There was no miracle that took place for him in that sense. But when he was sitting at that table, no one else could see that. He looked the same as everyone else. And when other people, when God sees us, yes, are we still sinners? Yeah. I'll ask your spouse or your children. We can confirm very quickly that, yes, we are all still sinners. But we're all covered by the grace of God. And when God sees us, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. As we sang last week, his robe's for mine. That wonderful exchange that would take place, that we are covered by the grace of God. And I love the old saying that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. We all came the same way by faith alone. And Mephibosheth, when he sat at that table, no one else knew that he was lame. They just saw, oh, there's a guy that's eating with the king. He must be special. He's like, if you only knew where I came from, if you only knew where my family was like, if you only knew why I was here. It's all because of Jonathan. And that's the beauty of the family of God within a church setting, is that we all come the same way. Social status don't matter. Ethnicity doesn't matter. Religious backgrounds doesn't matter. We are all equal through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and we're all family because of that. And as a Christian, when we got saved, a great change took place in our lives. As the Holy Spirit of God took residence in our heart, the Bible says that we became a new creature, a new creation. And as we spend time in the presence of the King, people see us differently as we reflect him and not us. They don't see us the same anymore. They see there's something different about that person. And Mephibosheth, his life was forever changed because he accepted the invitation from the king. There's another special table that is being prepared right now. The Bible calls this feast called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. And there's going to be a time in heaven where all those who have trusted Christ as their Savior, Jesus is going to come receive those who have trusted Christ as his bride. And there is a feast that is awaiting. And there is a spot at the table for every person who has trusted Christ as their Savior. But it's an invitation-only party. Only those who have received Jesus Christ and received his invitation can go in. But everyone has been invited. And as we go through this life as a believer, we're telling other people, hey, salvation can be received by all who will take it. But that invitation had a very high price. It was the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But he offers an invitation for all who accept it. Revelation 22 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. It's an invitation for everyone to receive Christ as their Savior. The very last verses of the Bible is an invitation to come to Christ. And God holds out that invitation to every single person for all who will receive it. The question is, have you received that invitation? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? And then if you have, are we telling other people about it? And are we taking access of all the riches that we have because of that? Or are we focused on just complaining about how bad everything is, which is so easy to get to? Have we forgotten where we came from? Have we forgotten why we have access to God because of Jesus Christ? Or do we get bogged down with so many other things of life? And imagine if Mephibosheth woke up one day and said, I don't feel like this anymore. I'm just going to go back home. How crazy would that have been? Everyone said, what are you doing? You have access to everything and more you could ever want. And he said, nah, I don't want that anymore. We would say, oh, you're crazy. But how often do we do that in our lives? God has given us complete access to him and say, nah, I'm going to go back to my sin. You know, we look down at the children of Israel and over again, they failed. And yet how often do we do the same thing? Maybe we need to get back to that place that God has invited us to and to experience all the riches that we have and the goodness and wonderful privilege that we have of God's child, of spending time with him and telling other people what God has done in our life. But if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior this morning, let today be that day that you receive that invitation. And if you have questions about that, please come talk to us. We'd love to show you more, answer any questions of what that means, what Jesus Christ did for us. It's more than just knowing it in our head, but of receiving it for ourselves. Of I'm putting my complete faith and trust in Christ alone, just like we sang about this morning. It's in Christ alone that our hope is found. And if you've never made that decision, today would be a wonderful day to make it. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your goodness to us, for the extending the invitation for salvation to us. Well, as you think about this passage of Mephibosheth and his life that was forever changed, not because he did anything to deserve it, but because of Jonathan's sake. And Lord, we know that there's nothing good that we have to offer you, but because of Jesus Christ. And God, we thank you for the salvation that we have, that you made available to us. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that today would be that day that they would receive that invitation and put their faith in you alone for salvation. Lord, and for those of us who have trusted Christ, Lord, that we would take access of all the riches that you have given to us, all of the resources that we have in you, the Word of God, that to be able to come to you in prayer, don't have to go through a priest, we can come directly to you. We can tell other people what you've done in our life and experience the joy of the Lord that you have made available to us and not get bogged down with all the cares and things of this life, but to keep our focus on you. And God, we just thank you. And Lord, that we can never repay you enough for all that you've done for us, but that we would live our lives in gratitude to you. And all these things, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If we can play just for just a moment, just a hymn.